presume you're going to keep the Stasny line intact from last game? Okay. Based on minutes, I mean, it's sort of your third line, but it's got your top two goal scorers on it. What do you call it?
The Stasny line. How they come off the bench, and some of those 5-on-5 minutes relates to the opponent, whether we're home or on the road, and have only seen them in one game, so you're still watching it a little bit. Paul's minutes will come up as soon as he factors into the penalty kill time, so he didn't see any time there. That's a big part of what he's done in the past, and we wanted to give him a game or so to get a feel for it. I liked our penalty kill an awful lot last game. We gave up one shot. So I was really pleased with it. I wasn't looking to force him into that, but his minutes will come up there.
How do you see using that line? I know it's early. How do you see using it going forward, and how do you see opposing teams dealing with it?
Well, I think in general, most of them, and NHL coaches pre-scout and watch games and have a pretty good handle what lines can do, but at the end of the day, you're right, the two numbers on the wings are our biggest goal-scoring numbers, so you're going to draw probably the 3-4. I still think Scheif and Wheeler are drawing the 1-2 shutdown pair of D, and they'll get the 3-4 coming out next. As far as a line, they'll make a decision whether they want to go head-to-head with Scheif with their most offensive line, or they're going to try to check Scheif, and then a lot of times they'll get the next line after that in that role. Then it'll be, you know, it's size, speed, style of play. Those are the decisions that go into the matchup.
And you're not married to this combo right now for too long, or how do you look at that?
I'm not worried if we have to make a change to it. So there's a bunch of options on the left side of the ice to move people around. And it won't be about that line all. You know, I mean, Kyle Connor has to continue to play. I think the way he's played the last few games on the left to stay with Mark and Matty Perreault and Brian and Jack have been really, really good. But they'll also, with so many young players, they need to be consistent with that, because Joel Armia is there, and we've got some other guys that are coming back from injury that are going to want some minutes too. So I wouldn't say I'm going to leave it. I liked it. I think there's lots of really good things that can happen with the line, and we'll invest some time in the line to give it an opportunity to get comfortable.
Is your philosophy that you need to settle on a combination so and so many games before playoffs, or is it just stay fluid all the way through?
No, I think you'd stay with whatever is your normal routine, and because you do make adjustments in playoffs fairly quickly. But more patient during the year if a guy's having an off period or the first half of the game isn't going his way, but you're probably not letting the guy wait too long when you get into that playoff game. So, I'm going to leave them unless I want to just see something else, to see another combination. There might be maybe in a 4 or 5 games you might see a little bit more movement.
Small sample size, but it has been in a game. Learning anything new, or what have you gleaned from Joe Morrow?
Yeah, I liked his game in that it was a difficult one for him to play. Not just new team, first game, all that stuff, but our neutral zone and some of what we do is quite a bit different than what he, and he's been consistent in his last two teams with a certain style of defense, and ours is different, so there's some adjustment there. I thought he picked those up pretty darn quickly. So I was happy with the game he was able to give us.
He's a guy who, you know, takes the approach of do and die. Has been thrown into that situation right so many times of not playing, and I mean, we all know about his playoffs last year. And is that his biggest asset, knowing that where he fits in the depth chart? If you have a healthy lineup, you're going to have your top six in place. But if something bad happens, that this is a guy who's not only capable but knows and understands what he needs to do in that situation.
Really important. There's a maintenance part to this too. You need a guy that can go out and handle this, and not have to have a conversation every day about where he's at. He understands the role. One of the adjustments young players have to make, and we'll use forwards to come in on the fourth line that have never played those minutes or have never sat a 6-minute block during a hockey game, and then the coaches still yell, expect them to go. I mean, that's the first thing. They say, well, I didn't play for 8 minutes. My legs weren't there. Well, that's the job, right? You've got to figure out a way to get your legs right after sitting on the bench for... So there's a skill to this, and you develop it sometimes over time, learn how to sit out blocks and come in and be a real good player, and then mentally stay sharp in some longer periods of time when you're not active.
Winnipeg was an option for him last offseason. You know, some guys, I mean, maybe it's where he is in the NHL or where he's perceived, you know. Some guys might say, if you say no to us, we don't go back to you. Is that because of where he's at? in the NHL where it's, is it surprising, I guess, is what I'm asking, that you would go back to a guy who essentially at one point said no to your club?
Yeah, I think we were pretty comfortable with the decisions we made in the past about guys that were coming in. It wasn't an overarching need. We felt there's a bunch of things that have happened between now and then. Dmitry Kulikov's play on the right side is one of those things. Because with our healthy, the big three on the right take a big chunk of minutes, and Tucker Pullman was kind of that in that extra hole now. But with Dmitry playing with the way he's playing on the right, he might even be ahead of Tucker on his offside. We want Tucker Pullman to play hockey games, so there was a need for that hole on the left side. Felt our right has always been well covered off. But we, you know, things change for everybody. Situations change in a player's career, so we wouldn't hold off a player that thought he had a better fit somewhere else.
Just back to the Stastny line for a minute. What are some of the attributes maybe of his game that you'd like to see the Oilers in a line able to pick up on?
There's a patience to his game on where there's offense and where there's not offense. I think that comes from experience, time. The guy knows he's going back out in the ice, so he doesn't have to prove to anybody that he can do some certain offensive things. And the young guys come in at times, and because that's what they're selling to the team, they feel like they've got to show it every time. And they've been able to do it in the past. Or when they tried to make a play that was really not the right play to make, there was no cost to it, right? Here, there's a cost. You throw something into the middle when there's no place to put it, and you've got a real problem going the other way. Veteran guys, they learn when to do it, when not to do it. A big part of offensive confidence is the plays that you don't feel that you have to make, that you don't force. He's got that right down in his game, Paul does. So he got pucks in, made simple chips, cut off shifts and just got off the ice. Young guys, not just the two that we have, but all of them, that's an area that they can pick up on.